It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with episode 28 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. Basketball wrapping up this week for most of the area teams, getting ready to go into baseball and softball. Lots of stuff to talk about, Tony.
Absolutely. Getting ready to get into the spring sports, as you can tell that we're all bundled up.
Yeah. Hey, it's supposed to be a great week this week.
It is. Looks like the end of the week's going to be really nice.
Yeah, I mean, at least maybe you won't have to wear your parka when you're calling the game Friday.
But can you tell, like, in your elbow
what do you mean,
or something?
You? It's us. Us. When we're calling the game.
Well, yeah, you can tell. I can tell in my elbow when it's going to be cold, yeah. Usually because I've got about four layers of clothes on out there.
Look like Randy from A Christmas Story.
That's right. That's right. But, let's talk about the Leopards first, Tony. And Leopards finished the season at 6-20 and 3-11 in the conference. You know, I'm going to say something. I believe the Leopards overachieved this year. And with that record, it's interesting that I would say that. But I think they really
when you throw in the injuries and how depleted we were at the end of the year, you and I talked at the beginning of the season that they might not win a game in the conference because our conference is just that good. They win three conference games. I think you're right. I think you can make the argument. And I'm going to tell you what, they played hard all the way down the stretch. At the end of the season, they were playing as hard as they were the first ball games.
Yeah. And, you know, there was only a couple of games during that whole conference schedule where they were really out of it. Two Magnolia games.
That's right.
Yeah, and other than that, they were in it. I mean, you know, when you're talking about, we'll talk about Tuesday night. We'll go ahead and start talking about that, and we'll talk about the boys first. I mean, just playing the Camden Fairview team that's just so athletically superior to them.
Bigger at every position.
Yeah, beat them by 35 points at Camden Fairview. They lead at the end of the game, and in my opinion, should have won the game. But they gave Camden Fairview too many opportunities, and they finally missed a few free throws. The Leopards missed a few free throws at the end. Camden Fairview hits a three-pointer with a clock running out to beat them by 2 points.
The buzzer goes off while the ball's in the air, typical buzzer beater. And it was not what you call a great shot. It was a three pointer from the corner with a hand in the guy's face,
falling away.
Yeah, and he just hit it, and that was the difference in the ball game.
Yeah, got to give him credit, but I mean, just an excellent effort there. I mean, and with talking about, then we can move on to the girls. I mean, you know, we got to see Coach Mike Neighbors of the Arkansas Razorbacks at the Coliseum.
He wasn't there to see you, was he?
No. He was not there to see me because I called him and
what
he wasn't
your birthday
answering
week?
My phone. Yeah, I know. I thought he would, but I mean, I couldn't get him. But anyway, he was there to see Mimi Fuchelet from Camden Fairview, 6'4", and she is as good as advertised.
Yeah, the size, of course, but can still shoot the three, handle the basketball, and it's easy to see why every school in the country wants her.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. But, you know, Lady Leopards played a great game against them. They end up missing a shot at the buzzer to lose by 1 point there.
Man,
so
it was a
tough loss for the Lady Leopards there and the Leopards that night, Tuesday night. Moving on to Friday night.
I will say, though, after Tuesday night, and I posted on Facebook, it was a proud night to be a Leopard because our Leopards played so hard against teams that were much more athletic.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, we've talked a little bit about this, but Friday night the Leopards and Lady Leopards played the Ashdown teams. Ashdown girls come in. They have beaten the Lady Leopards at Ashdown. Last game of the year, they're down to six players.
Yeah.
And Lady Leopards stay – kind of get a little bit behind. Kaylee Dancer, excellent basketball player, and LaKenya Williams also. They get behind a little bit, but then guess what? Kaylee Dancer fouls out.
Yeah.
And that was in maybe in the third quarter. It was early in the fourth quarter.
And we were either down 9 or 11 at the time it happened. I can't remember which. Yeah. But it did open a door for us. There just wasn't enough time left to.
Well, and you know, we got back to within one. I think we missed a shot a couple of times where we could have taken the lead.
Yes.
And we missed a couple of shots and ended up fouling them with 3 seconds left. They, of course, missed the shot, but we don't have time to get the ball down the court and take a shot. So they ended up winning, 39-38. Interesting tidbit there. They foul another girl out, so they end the game with 4 players.
Yeah. And I was, and we'll talk to Jim a little later about this. I was real impressed with the way their coach, Coach Hubbard, coached after they got down to 4.
Yes.
Because her point was to shorten the game. She didn't care if they took another shot. She was just trying to run 30 seconds off the shot clock every time. And that was the strategy. That was the right move.
Yeah, that's right. So anything else about that? Leopards and Lady Leopards are finished in basketball. They move on to softball and baseball. The first games will be this Friday. And the Leopards baseball game will be calling that game on KDQN.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, Friday afternoon. Weather ought to be great. Come out and see the Leopards play. And one more thing we need to do, our Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week, going to be
Rowan Sanchez.
Rowan Sanchez for the Leopards, and he had 2 great games, really kept the teams in the games.
Had a really high shooting percentage, too, for the week.
Yeah,
he did. I think he only missed 2 or 3 shots in one game.
Yep, he did only miss 2 one game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, so he did a really good job, and we appreciate Shelter Insurance and Woods Agency for them sponsoring that, and the Leopard Player of the Week is going to be Rowan Sanchez. And now we have a special treat, Tony. We've got softball coach Chad Lights in the studio with us. Chad, good to have you in the studio today to talk about Lady Leopard softball.
Good to be here, Greg. I appreciate y'all inviting me, and season is upcoming, and we're looking forward to it. We're excited to get it started.
Yeah, just starting next week, right?
Starts Friday.
Yeah. Oh, this week.
This week.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I said the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Who's the first opponent?
We play Prescott in a AAA benefit scrimmage.
Okay.
So it'll be our first action. And next week we will start with Foreman on Tuesday for the first regular season game.
All right.
That'll be our first radio broadcast as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good.
So tell us a little bit about your team.
Well, one thing that I'm really excited about is this is a group that really loves softball, and obviously that's where it all starts. You've got to love what you're doing. We've used the excuse in the past year or two of being young. Well, that's over with. I want them to be competitive. They are competitive. Last year we were competitive in all but about 2 ball games, and that's something that I'm looking forward to this year, and I really think that they have good things in store for them this year.
Okay, well, I know that you lost several players that were seniors last year, and lost one of your pitchers, lost a shortstop, lost a third baseman, lost the first baseman. So I know your infield's going to change up quite a bit. So you got people to stick there that's going to do the job?
Yeah, we lost 3 good ones. I'm not going to lie to you. And they're going to be tough to replace. I told the girls last week at practice that somebody's going to have to step up. Mm-hmm. It's time to step up and take a spot. And they've really worked hard. I'm going to be honest with you. Those spots are still not 100% secure. We're still looking every day at practice. We'll look today at practice and see if anybody steps up. But we're going to be okay. We've got kids that can step in and do the job for us.
Yeah,
I think that you guys are going to have a really good lineup, top to bottom, and I think that I just enjoy last year the way you guys played small ball a lot. I love that. Get a runner on base, get her to second, maybe bunter to third, or maybe hit away or whatever. I really enjoyed that about your team last year.
I totally went away from my philosophy. I'm and Jeff will tell you, I'm a long ball hitter.
Yeah.
Had the privilege of coaching with Coach Neely for years. He was a long ball hitter. But we didn't have a lot of long ball hitters.
No.
So you've got to adjust what you're doing and lay the bunt down and move runners. And something that we do every day in practice, we bunt.
Yeah.
We sacrifice, we safety, we squeeze, we push. We do every type of bunting every day in practice. And hopefully in a game situation, that's going to come through for us.
Well, I know you all went, I think, 11-10 last year.
11-10.
Yeah, so looking at the rest of the league, you know Nashville's going to be Nashville. Malvern was good last year, but they had some seniors, I believe.
They had one senior that I can't think of her name, but the redheaded pitcher they had.
Yes.
She was extremely good.
Yes, she was.
And she graduated, but they have another pitcher back that is really good, and they're going to be solid. Ashdown's got everybody back.
Yeah.
Magnolia, you know, they're going to be tough, as we found out in the last game of the year last year. So it's going to be a tough conference. We're going to be fighting to get that regional spot.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to talk. We know Perrybell Nickerson's going to be pitching for you, and I assume, and you can, she's going to be the main pitcher.
Yes.
But who you got coming in to
help
her?
We got two freshmen that are going to be backing her up. The first one is Evelyn Ponce.
Okay.
Evelyn's been with us since the fall, and she's worked really hard, gotten tons better. Really, really pleased with her. She doesn't throw hard, but she hits her spots, which is huge. Mm-hmm. And then also, we just got her last week, is Lindley Ligon.
Okay.
She will also throw some for us.
Yeah. Okay.
We really hadn't gotten time to do a lot with her yet, but she'll throw some too.
Yeah. Okay.
My estimation, you got the best catcher in the conference.
Defensively, I 100% agree.
Yeah,
totally agree.
Yeah.
And if you were watching the Ashdown game at Ashdown last year, they've got a real fast young lady that plays. I think she won the 100 and the 200 in the track, and she tried to steal on us, and we threw her out a step. I mean, it wasn't close.
she was shocked, too.
she was, that may have been the only time she got thrown out last year.
It probably was.
So, but anyway, yeah, Catherine Sokash has done a great job for us, and I'm expecting big things out of her.
That's great. Anything else you want to add about the season? Or?
Well, we've got a pretty tough schedule. if you look at it up and down, we start off the first week with Foreman and Hot Springs, and then we travel to Springdale, something a little different this year. Normally we play in the Ashdown tournament. We're going to go to Springdale and play Bentonville West and Springdale Harbor, a couple of 7A teams. I know the coaches real well up there, and that's something that we have tried to work out since the beginning of the year. So we're looking forward to that, see some good competition. And then obviously we play some local teams, Horatio and Costot, again, Foreman. So we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a good year.
Well, I know, you know, those teams, you know, excluding the conference teams, which are very tough, we got a tough conference. I know, I mean, Horatio's always got a good team. Foreman's always got a good team. You know, Costot River's pretty good, too. So, I mean, you're not shying away from competition.
No. And you can't, like you said, in our conference, you can't shy away from them.
Yeah.
You're going to see it every week,
yeah.
Twice a week.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, Chad mentioned me a while ago, knowing his style of play, and – you know, so he kind of brought me into the conversation. I just wanted to say, y'all are really fortunate to have him over here, Coach Lights. I mean, we had him at Derrick's for a while, coaching, assistant coach, and some of those Derrick's Lady Outlaw teams, some of the better ones they've had. Me and Chad coached together, him from the field and me from the stands.
That's true.
No, I'm just kidding.
A lot of truth to that.
I'm just kidding. I've never wanted to interfere with the coaching and the way they do things.
Just the official.
But I will give them – I will talk to them and tell them what I think, though. But, no, I really like Chad, and y'all are fortunate to have him over here.
Thank you, Jeff.
100% agree.
Yeah, we agree 100%.
Jeff and I go way back. We go back to diapers.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I
got him by a few months.
You know, just really appreciate you coming in today and telling us. Okay, tell us what else.
Got another thing I want to bring up. I want to talk about my assistant coaches real quick. First of all, Coach Joseph Parson helps me. And I'm going to tell you, you won't find a harder worker than Joseph Parson. He's a great guy. Works hard, does anything that I ask him to do, goes above and beyond. Anytime I give him a practice plan, I don't have to tell him but once. He goes out and does his job, and I really want to brag on him because he does a great job. The other one I want to talk about is my daughter. She's going to be handling our pitching game this year. As you know, she was the head coach for a few years before I came. She had her youngest baby and got out of it so she could be mama for a little while. But it was always my dream before I retired to be able to coach with her. And this year I finally talked her into it, made it happen. So,
well, she'll be such a benefit to your pitching.
Knock
staff.
That off the bucket list.
Yeah.
She's already been.
Yeah.
She's taken the pitchers under her wing and it's allowed me to go do other things. So I really appreciate her for doing that.
Well, that's great. And we appreciate you so much for coming in and talking to us about the season today. We look forward to great things from Lady Leopard Softball and also look forward to talking to you in the future in the coming weeks.
I appreciate everything y'all are doing for sports in the area. And
thank you.
Go Leopards.
Go Leopards.
Ashdown Veterinary Clinic and DeQueen Animal Hospital. Man. Big sponsors here of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, have been here since the beginning, and always bringing you the Ashdown Panthers talk. They're great folks over there. They've been helping my sister recently. She has nothing but great things to say about DeQueen Animal Hospital and just both of these locations, man. We all know how hard it is when it's when it might be time to come for a pet or your pet's going through anything. Maybe it's just routine. Bringing them into a place that's going to be honest with you, nice with you, comfortable, and all those nice words that could be associated with these guys, it makes it feel a lot better.
They just make you feel as good as you can feel. You know, there's it's not an easy situation dealing with the loss of a pet.
Yeah.
A lot of people have real trouble with that, and it is a very difficult situation, and they make it as easy as they can.
Absolutely.
Obviously it's not going to be something that's easy,
but
they are really great at getting you through that process. And not only do they do that, they have everything else, all the immunizations that all your pets need, that if they're sick, that they can take care of them. If you need them, just need them boarded for a day or two, they can do that.
Yeah.
Also, and they're located in both DeQueen and Ashdown, so they got all of Southwest Arkansas covered for all your veterinarian needs.
That's right. 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, 870-898-5181. And then also DeQueen Animal Hospital, 1690 Highway 70 West here in DeQueen, 870-642-8387. That's correct. We have a Mr. Jim Cross on the line.
Jim, good to hear from you again. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Hope you had a good birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I did have a great birthday. I'm more blessed than I deserve.
Amen. Are we all?
Yeah, we all are. But, hey, Panther basketball over with. Lady Panther basketball over with. Give us your assessment of the season, maybe, just to start out here.
Well, the girls, I think you guys kind of hit the nail on the head last week by saying that they're probably the most improved team in the conference. And off the top of my head, I can't recall how many games they won last year in the conference, but it wasn't many. And so this year to win 6, and then plus they beat Bradley early in the season, and to do it with 7 people, and then only then to finish the game the other night with 4 people, and to win the game, I think that says a lot about the team. And next year we lose Carrie L. Forbes, who's been a vital part of the team. But the rest of the girls, plus a pretty good ninth grade group, is coming back. And so I'm anticipating to maybe even move a step up a little bit next year. But I just tip my hat off to the girls, to play with 7 girls all season. The Kenya Williams and Kaylee Dancer are as good as anybody. And, they had all conference kind of season. And I know that in talking to Coach Hubbard after the game, she was just tickled to death with their effort the whole year. They come to practice, they make good grades. I mean, they're good quality kids, and they've gotten better as the season goes on.
If Dancer is not first team all conference, I'll file a former protest myself. she's very good.
And she's only a ninth grader.
I know.
Yeah, she did a really good job, we'll talk about Friday night first, since we're kind of talking about that, if that's okay with you. Panthers played the Leopards in that night. And when you look, Ashdown came in, I think they only had 6 Friday night because there was one girl that was sick.
That's correct.
Yes.
And so they start out with 6, and when, they were doing pretty well, and then Kaylee Dancer fouls out. And I thought, well, here we go. The Lady Leopards are going to have a pretty good shot at it. And man, just they held us off, even with four. So great job by the Lady Panthers Friday night.
I thought down the stretch they were very well coached. They did the things that they needed to do to kind of shorten the game. And I thought their coach did a really good job. I think her name's Hubbard. Is that correct?
Yes.
I thought
she did a good job shortening the game because that's what she needed. She needed the game to be over. So
She did. She did. And that's kind of interesting, fellas, because we're really not very good at that. We're more of a let's run down and take a couple passes and drive to the basket. And so to be able to pull that off and to, you know, with only four people, because you could double team the ball every time.
That's right.
And so I thought the girls did a good job of not turning the ball over. And even if you didn't get a shot off, if you held the ball for 30 seconds, that's still a win.
That's right.
And I'm not sure how much you all were up when she fouled out. I think it was either 9 or 11. Uh-huh. And, it seemed like that we were going to come back and take the lead, and I was just impressed with the way your girls held us off.
Yeah, they did a good job. Boys, a little bit different Friday night. They played a good game. Ended up losing by four, I believe.
49-45,
yeah. But I'm going to tell you, I really appreciate the fact that the way the Ashdown, both teams with the small numbers, never quit. I think they got better all year long, which is reflective of their coaches and everything else. Now, their coach only got to coach about half the game Friday night, but I understand that too. So, that happens sometimes.
Well, I wish the Ashdown boys had got a win. Now, I'm glad they didn't get it Friday night. I was hoping it'd be Tuesday night against Malvern.
Coach Backus is that in all the games I've done, and even because he coached the girls for years and then left and came back, fellas, I don't think I've ever seen him get a technical. And so to see him get thrown out of the game, I'd be curious to really what happened, because he's typically a pretty mild-mannered guy. But when you go 0-0 for the season, I'm sure that
Jim, I think it's the block charge call.
A couple of those that went against you guys, he was not real happy with. I think you're right. I think it's a cumulative thing. You know, you're 0-17 but man, I'll tell you, whatever he has done to keep those kids playing, those young men playing, he did a great job.
He really did.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said before, going into the season, none of those players had varsity experience.
Yeah.
And so to put this in perspective, we played Malvern Tuesday, and we played them on the road earlier in the season, and they beat us by 31. And then we play them at home, and we go to overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a –
We were really pulling for you guys that night, because I knew that, one, I'd like to see y'all get a win. Nobody should go the season winless. But two, I thought that, man, if they don't get a win Tuesday, they're going to be primed Friday. And they were primed Friday. So,
they were. And we also determined what Coach Backus's next career is going to be. He's going to be a referee. he's already told them that. You get to hear all kinds of interesting things when you're down there right on the court, Jim, as you know.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. You just can't make faces, can you?
No, you can't. No.
Now, Jim can make all the faces he wanted from the crow's nest at the Coliseum.
That's true. And I bet he made a few of them.
I bet he did too.
Yeah, yeah. But
my only complaint about the whole thing was it's just my perspective. It doesn't mean it's right, but those referees know Coach Backus really well. And I just think under the circumstances, you would think as an official, okay, the guy's old for the season, let's cut him a little slack and let's just say, okay, brother, we understand, and let's move on. I mean, if anybody deserved to yell at the referees, it's Coach Backus.
Yeah.
it's just been a tough season.
Yeah, just get out some frustration. That's right. So what about the girls against Malvern Tuesday? Talk about that just for a little while.
Yeah, the girls got out early, and it's kind of interesting. They jumped out to like 18-6 early, and then Malvern kind of clawed back. And Malvern's so big. I mean, you know, they got two or three girls that are just
– they may be the biggest team in the conference other than the Fairview girl.
Yeah. And it's really – I mean, I'm not knocking their team, but it's curious. I would have thought by watching them warm up that they would be better than what they are. And of course, it gets down, if you don't have a good point guard, that's
what we've said. Guard play is not good for them. And if they had somebody that could get those big girls the ball, they'd have been a lot better.
Yeah, yeah. And so but as the game went on, their size kind of wore on us, you know, with seven people. And they got the game close. And then midway through the fourth quarter, Kaylee Dancer and LaKenya Williams put it away and made a couple fast break layups, used our speed, and were able to come away with a victory. But as the game wore on, you could see that their size was just wearing us down.
Yeah, well, Jim, basketball over for the Panthers and Lady Panthers. I know you get a week off. I think you're calling a game. I don't know if it's softball or baseball a week from today. Is that right?
Yeah. Monday. Going to Genoa Monday for baseball.
Yeah, so you get
that's a coinky dink because we play Genoa here Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, good.
Yeah.
Good
so deal. you're getting a week off, and it's always good to get a little rest there every once in a while. But it is. I know you're like us. You enjoy going, and it's a lot of fun. Yeah. But just one last thing. Who's going to be the Horatio State Bank Panther Player of the Week this week?
Well, I discussed that with my wife walking this morning, and we went into great detail. and I wanted to give it to the four girls that stayed on the court, but I've given it to the girls all season long. Mm-hmm. But today I think RJ Forbes deserves it. He had 32. Oh,
yeah.
He had 32 against Malvern and then 23, I believe, against you guys. And he's just really evolved his game. And I'd like to give it to
well, you know what? He was walking out of the gym as I was packing up the equipment Friday night. And I looked at him and said, young man, you can shoot threes for me anytime. Yeah. Because he was hotter than a pistol, man.
Yeah, he did a good job.
I mean, to score 55 points in a week in 4A basketball, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's impressive. It sure is. Yeah. Well, Jim, we appreciate you, as always, coming on and talking with us about the Panther Athletics. And again, Horatio State Bank Panther Player of the Week is RJ Forbes. And we look forward to talking to you about softball and baseball starting next week.
Hey, can't wait, fellas. You guys have a great week.
You too. Thanks, Jim.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, we appreciate Jim Cross so much and him calling in today. And now we have the opportunity to talk about the Horatio Lions and the Lady Lions. We've got Coach Reed in with us.
Good to have you, Coach.
Well, I appreciate y'all having me in to talk about the girls. We're excited about this upcoming week.
Yeah, it looks like a big week for you guys. Y'all have had a good season by any measuring stick, 17-9, 10-2 in the league. And now it really starts for real. It's a new season, basically.
It is. It's a completely new season. Everybody starts fresh, and right now one game you're done. So we're excited about the opportunity to go to Akron Thursday and see what we can do.
And you play Parker's Chapel, is that correct?
That's correct. They were the one seed during the regular season on the other side and then lost in their semifinals or district tournament. So they're a really good team. It's kind of a rematch of last year. We got them in the same situation in the 2-3 game last year at Fordyce. And so we're kind of familiar with them. They're a little familiar with us.
And, well, how did that game turn out?
We were fortunate enough to beat them last year. We played them in the tournament at Magnet Cove in December last year, beat them and by about 15 and beat them by about 8 or 10, I think, in region last year.
And you know, going back to last week, Akron, is that your all's third time playing them?
Third time to play them this year, yes.
And they must be a pretty good ball team.
They are. They're really good. I mean, they're solid. They got bigs that can finish around the rim and rebound, and they got a bunch of guards that can shoot, and they're quick. They like to get up and down the floor, and, you know, they're a tough matchup for anybody. So I thought the girls played extremely hard. I was proud of them. We gave ourselves an opportunity. I think it was a 4-point game with about 3 minutes left, and we just never could quite close the gap.
And thinking about last week, if I were going to ask you who was your Horatio State Bank Line Player of the Week be, who would you pick?
I would probably pick Emma Ray. I think she had a really good game against Spring Hill.
That's a good choice.
You know,
that's
really
a hard choice, yeah. Right?
Yeah, she really did a great job inside for us against Spring Hill. And, you know, Akron was face guarding the entire game, you know, and so that kind of shows the respect that they have for her. Just that they were trying to deny her 94 feet down the floor, and she still found a way to get a bunch of rebounds and putbacks for us and still finish around the goal. So it would have to be Emma for this past week.
Awesome. And I know you sit on the bench for the Lions, and their season is over. You know, much like the football team, Greg, it's not maybe as much reflected in the record, but the Lions games were much more competitive this year in football. And I'd say the same thing about the boys, Coach.
Oh, I agree 100%. I think that, you know, Coach Minton in his second year has done a great job with the boys and getting them to kind of understand how to play the game better. You know, they played great in the first round against Foreman, kind of controlled that game from start to finish.
18-point win.
18-point win, exactly. And then, you know, against Akron, we played them within eight, I think, at third place a couple weeks before that in boys, and we really felt like we had a good chance. And, you know, Akron just come out on fire. I think they hit like six or seven threes the first half on us and made it difficult. We kind of got behind from the beginning and had to battle the whole game and just weren't able to pull off a comeback. But the boys have played extremely hard and they've just improved throughout the season and been very competitive against a lot of good teams.
Well, I tell you what, I've been impressed with you. I've been impressed with Coach Minton as well. You all seem to the players seem to love you guys. And they seem to play hard for you. That says a lot about a coach right there, that you can get the young people to play hard for you. And if a team gets better from, say, November to February, that says a lot about the coach as well.
Yeah, it really does. And y'all have had a great season so far. Look for it to continue on. Looking ahead, and I know you coaches don't like to do this, but
so, you're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to ask anyway. So you got Parker's Chapel. Who the two teams that you would face if you win that game?
Well, first of all, Parker's Chapel is going to be a very difficult challenge. They got everybody back from last year's team. Great point guards, some good post players. If we're fortunate enough to get past them, we would get the winner at Fordyce and Spring Hill. So we could see Spring Hill for the fourth time this year if we get past them. And Fordyce has been playing really good. They were the four seed coming into their district tournament and ended up winning their district tournament. So
there's a lot of that going around.
Yeah. Well, that really changes things up too, doesn't it?
And on their side, the sixth seed finished second. So they had a lot of upsets on that side.
Must have been a very competitive league all season, I would imagine, if the teams were that close.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I know you didn't want to do that, and I'm sorry. I just kind of was wondering who would be the next game. So your game's Thursday night, right?
We have the 7 o'clock game on Thursday, so we'll have the last game of the first round for girls.
Okay, so and that'll be Thursday night. If you win Friday night,
turn back around and play Friday night,
and then Saturday.
Yep.
Okay, and how many teams advance out of the regionals to
the top four? So you win that first game, then you're playing for regionals, championship, or seeding after that. So, you know, that first one's the one that really counts, and then after there, you kind of hope you get hot the rest of the weekend and can finish strong.
Yeah. That sounds great, and we're really pulling for you.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to tell you, every time I hear MRA, I just think about Greg, and I can't help it. But I know he's watching her from up above, and smiling
from ear to ear like he always was.
That's right. She's had a great year, and we appreciate her being the Horatio State Bank Line Player of the Week. Anything else you'd like to add before we move on?
Well, just if anybody can come out Thursday to cheer these girls on, we sure would love to have the support. They've been playing really hard. We feel like we're playing some of our best basketball right now, and you know, we're excited to play and would love all the support that we can get.
Okay.
Absolutely. Get out and support the Lady Lions.
That's right. It's that time of year. If you like good basketball, it's all around, and that's a great place to go.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Coach. Really appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And we have our title sponsor actually in studio again for this episode. Very excited. Mrs. Angie Walker here with us today.
Good morning.
Not Dr. Angie Walker.
No, you are not
a doctor.
No, not Angie Martin. Not Angie. Just plain old Angie.
Got you. Okay.
She is a doctor or something.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about it here.
I don't know what that
here.
Would be.
Yeah. The thing, just talking about the clinic to start out with, I mean, we just talk about the general things, then we'll let you talk about it. You know, I like the term 777.
Yeah, of course.
They're open from 7 to 7, 7 days a week. There for you all the time. If you have after-hours needs, you call 584-3000, hit option 6. Mm-hmm. You're going to talk to an actual person.
Yeah.
You're actually going to talk to Brad Patterson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dr. Walker's working on his customer service skills, but until he gets his mood a little bit better, it's going to be Brad.
That's right. I utilized Dr. Randy Walker's clinic last week, and I was very happy that they open at 7, way before anybody else does. So when I was, you know, waking up at 4 in the morning being like, something ain't right. I didn't have to wait very long to get in to get seen. So I'm very, very happy for that.
Yeah, we have a ton of flu, strep, and COVID right now.
Yeah.
So it just keeps, I don't know what it is. We just keep passing it around.
I guess so. I feel like I was 7 years old when they told me it was strep. I'm like, what am I?
Oh, what a sucker.
Yeah.
I need something for my throat.
Need some ice cream. I did. I haven't had ice cream in a while. Hey, plenty of that.
But, well, yeah. You know, I don't know why they can't make it a medicinal sucker. Do they make those?
They do. They do. I believe Chester makes them. They're for, because J-Dub had to have it when he had his tonsils and adenoids out. It's a sucker that is, it numbs your throat.
Oh, wow. Like a lozenge.
You could have used one.
I could have used one. Yeah, a couple of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, of course. So, what's going on with, or go ahead.
I was just going to mention that we talked about this last week, but it's still there, diabetic eye exams.
Oh.
Yes. If you're diabetic, a lot of times you don't recognize that that is affecting and attacking your eyes until it's too late. And so for our diabetic patients, we like for them to have an annual diabetic eye exam. And you can actually get those in your physician's office now. You know, if they have that equipment, we have that equipment so that we can actually screen you. We can see if you're starting to experience retinopathy, and then we can get you in front of that, the person that you need to be in front of to manage that.
Mm.
So
I see.
Yeah,
I had no idea about that.
Another thing, this is talking about the Dirks clinic more so than this. Yeah, you got an expansion going on over there. You're almost ready.
Almost ready.
Need an X-ray tech?
We need an X-ray tech. We desperately need an X-ray tech in that location. We are, they're painting. They were finishing up painting last week, and we're working on cabinets. So we're right there at the end of it.
Ah.
I'm excited.
But even though you're doing that, you're open in Dirks right now.
Yeah, Derek's is open right now. It's a one exam room clinic. And so, you know, our first thought was we wanted to get in there and offer services, and then it's just kind of exploded. And so we're extremely thankful for the Derek community for that. She is covered up. And so with the expansion, she gets 3 more exam rooms and X-ray.
Oh, so. Wow. Wow.
That's the next thing is putting another person over there, right?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You know, we always want to look at, for us, it's all about meeting the patient where they are, being there at that right time when they're ready to access services. And so a lot of times we're talking about expanding, you know, to get more exam rooms on, but we can also be talking about expanding hours too. Mm. And so for the clinic and the Derek's community, we're looking at all angles just to see how we can take care of folks over there.
Right.
I don't know. Do you want to talk about that now, or do you want to talk about it?
Let's go ahead and talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a couple of our providers went and became QPR certified, you know, not to be mistaken for CPR. This is QPR. And what this is for suicide prevention. And so the initials stand for question, persuade, and refer. What we want to do is certify as many people as possible in town because, as you guys are, I'm sure, aware, we're having a mental health crisis at the moment. We just seem to have more patients who are having depression issues, mental health, you know, all kinds of mental health issues. And so for QPR, it actually teaches you how to be that person that's talking to someone who maybe says, I just don't feel like going on anymore.
Right.
You know, a lot of times with that, there's some stigma and we think, well, wait a minute, if I don't mention it or if I don't talk about it, I don't want to plant a seed in that person's head. And that's the exact opposite of what you need to be doing. And so you need to be questioning them, you need to be asking them, and then you need to make sure you're moving them into the right to the right provider to help them and give services to them.
Yeah.
So the goal is it's open to the community. Church of Christ is going to let us do the training in their family center. It's this Thursday from 5 to 7. It's about an hour and a half. And so, but it's fantastic.
Yeah.
We've done it through all of our whole clinic. All of our staff is certified in it. I do a community health worker class. they're certified in it. It's just one of those things where we're trying to empower folks to help us take care of people.
Yeah.
You know, it can't just be one person making that intervention. It takes a lot of us.
The more the better.
Yes.
So just members of the community, not healthcare
It doesn't
workers
matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
This certifies everybody.
It's an actual certification, too. Yes. That's incredible.
You'll have a little certification sticker. Yeah, yeah. Or it's a certificate at the end that shows you've been certified for QPR. And then just gets you engaged and talking.
Got you. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's incredible. Great.
What started, what made you, you know?
So we actually got this training. We were actually at Pilgrim's Pride in the Greeley office. And while we were there, we received the training under JBS. And so, you know, once you get something like this and you have access to it, it's like you need to spread that.
Yeah,
the first thought is let's spread. And so sat down, certified all of our employees in it because it just makes sense. It just helps. You know, if you can help one person, that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
And so we got all of our staff certified in it. We just felt like that wasn't enough. We want to get as many people as possible talking about it. I think if we talk about it, we can remove the taboo from it. And understand that it is truly an illness.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, we always lump different things with mental health and what have you. And I think we're starting to understand that these are true illnesses. Take the mental health off of it. It is impacting folks. It's impacting their diseases. It's impacting everything about them.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
One other thing, the cost of this, free.
Free.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have some pizza there.
All right.
So just come on in.
Big help.
Are you ready to talk about pizza?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I didn't know
I'm
if you...
always ready to talk about pizza.
So a couple of things going on at Simple Simon's. One is a large pepperoni pizza, $12.99.
Oh,
what a deal!
Yeah,
and
pepperoni.
I've been eating a lot of pizza.
We've
had a lot of meetings the last 2 weeks, and so I've ate my weight in pizza.
Yeah, it's one of the first things. I've been very sick for a week now, and I haven't been eating at all. And I've been trying to think about like where am I going to go for that meal? And
that's where we're going.
I'm thinking a full pepperoni pizza to myself is going to be a good idea.
Well, it's like you can taste it. Like I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Like when I'm sick, it's either chicken noodle soup or pepperoni pizza.
Oh,
I can taste it.
You can always taste it. Yeah. And Simple Simon's pepperoni pizza is so good.
Everything's
great.
So good.
Everything is so good.
Yeah, the kids are fantastic.
Yeah.
They do a fantastic
job. For sure.
And one of the things, just mention this again, the next 50-50 is going to be on March 4th. That's going to be the Queen Athletic Booster Club. And
very
they help
good.
Out so much all year long. And I know that...
Feed the kids. They do a ton of that for all the away games. They're constantly sponsoring the kids. I know they do some stuff with Peak Therapy as well. And so, I mean, that's a fantastic organization.
Yeah. And if you still don't know what a 50-50 is, every dollar spent at Simple Simon's that day on everything, half of it goes towards beneficiary, I guess.
Yes.
That organization, which is the Booster Club, the Athletic Booster Club for March. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And just remember, use it in Sevier County.
Yes.
It has to be for an organization in Sevier County. My preference always goes to the kids first.
Yeah.
But it needs those monies need to remain in Sevier County.
So not my offshore account
in
Dubai.
And then, you know, as much as I love organizations like the American Cancer Society and those kinds of things, sometimes those dollars are not in Sevier County.
Yeah.
And so I know we have a local cancer organization that does like transportation vouchers and stuff like that. That I'm good with, but it's got to impact Sevier County.
Right,
I agree.
Absolutely.
So one other thing we need to talk about is Ayers Cleaners.
That's right.
You know, added Saturday mornings to Ayers Cleaners.
Yeah.
Pickup and delivery.
That's right. They do a great job there. One of the things that you may not realize they do, alterations.
Oh, yeah.
So as you lose weight, you can have your clothes altered.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm
we're
going
to have to get a hold of Jay.
Yeah.
Man, he's losing some weight.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm always have to get a hold of his britches.
I'm always afraid of buying new clothes because I'm like, I'm going to lose weight soon.
Yeah, I got my my fat jeans. My chunky jeans, skinny jeans.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm hanging out in the fat.
Yeah, me too. I'm
like, I just can't make it. And I want to lose weight, like really, but then I really like margaritas.
Yeah,
and coffee,
pepperoni pizza.
And I'm like, So, yeah. Right now, I'm working on my pre-nursing home body. That's
there
it.
There you go.
That's it.
There you go. I love it. Well, thank you again. Of course, you've been our title sponsor since the very beginning.
And appreciate that.
Of course, you know, it's a great sponsor. And plus, you give us plenty to talk about, which is nice.
Yeah.
It's never, we usually have to try and cut it short because we can talk all day about it. So, the Walker Empire. Going strong.
We appreciate them so much.
Yeah, yeah. Don't call us that.
Dynasty.
No, don't even call us that. J-Dub's parents. Yeah, that's what we're calling it.
Walker Enterprises.
There we go. All right. Thank you so much for coming in. And speaking of the Dirks Clinic, real quick, we always talk about that before we talk about the Outlaws. We got Jeff Tuttle in studio.
King Tut, the winner of the everything we've ever done here. On this show.
I like the sound of that.
He wins it all, which I think that speaks more about Tony and I than it does about Jeff. Not sure about that. But we're going to talk about the Outlaws and what happened with them this week. Jeff, you want to just take it from there?
Well, not a lot happened with them this week. The Lady Outlaws started things off Tuesday night in the district tournament, which took place at Caddo Hills, and they faced Spring Hill Lady Bears. We talked about that last week on the podcast. They defeated them twice. Same situation as last year district tournament, and caught them in the first round and really didn't show up. I mean, just you can't be much more honest about it than that. Spring Hill Lady Bears had some players step up that they hadn't got big games from against us earlier in the season, and it was a close game, I believe less than 10 points final score, but at the end of the season for the Lady Outlaws, who finished 11-14 on the season, 6-6 in conference play, and on to the softball and track for the Lady Outlaws. You know, tough. Much improvements on the season. You could see it throughout the year. I mean, just getting better every game. I mean, they were a lot of fun to watch play this year, and expecting big things out of them in the future years.
They graduate a lot of players.
One senior on the team, Sydney Mounts, was the lone senior, and you know they'll definitely miss her and her leadership. But they got a lot of youth on the team and a junior high that'll be coming up.
Well, that sounds good. What about the Outlaws?
The Outlaws faced Spring Hill Bears, the male
again,
counterparts.
Huh? Yeah.
Yes. And they had split in the regular season. One of the two conference losses during the season was to Spring Hill at their place in overtime. And then Spring Hill was ready for them. Thursday night, that was a semifinal game. The Outlaws were the number one seed, so they'd got a bye to the semis, which win or lose put them in the regional. You really want to win. And by way of regular season finish, the loss to Spring Hill, which was by 12 points, I think, may have been the final. I'm not sure. I didn't write it down in my preparation. But by way of regular season finishing, they'll be the 3 seed going into the regional. They'll take on Junction City, the number 2 seed out of that region, Thursday at 5:30 at Akron.
That'll be a tough game for them.
Will be a tough game. I mean, you don't want to play a higher seed, and, you know, by losing, that's what happened to them. And, you know, some other teams just stepped up when they needed to and got the seeding that they were looking for. The Murfreesboro Rattlers will be the 1 seed coming out, and Spring Hill will be the –
It seems like that's happened this year more than any year I can remember, at least to the teams around here. Teams coming up from the middle of the conference and biting the number 1 seed or the number 2 seed.
Yeah.
And, you know, they might have been overlooking Spring Hill a little bit because they have also split with Murfreesboro regular season. Each team won at their own place. And Murfreesboro beat them regular season at their place on the last second shot at the buzzer. Big rivalry. We've talked about that. And if you're looking ahead, that can get you, you know, and that could be what happened.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it probably gives them a chance to reset now for the regional tournament, though, and so they'll be ready to go.
Yeah, they hope to have a good week of practice. You know, Coach Chisholm, he's going to focus on mistakes that were made, and, you know, they'll work all that out. And he's done a good job with this team and these boys and keeping them focused. I mean, they – 16-10 record, regular season, 10-2 in conference, 1 loss to Spring Hill and 1 to Murfreesboro. But that 16-10 is a little misleading. I mean, they split with those. They lost to Kirby twice. They lost to Cossetot twice early in the season. somebody else got them twice. I'm trying to think who.
Was the one of the losses was in the DeQueen tournament, correct?
That was one of the Cossetot.
Yeah.
Yes, they got Cossetot got them regular season and in that tournament. But, you know, it's they played Cutter Morning Star, who's ranked in the top five.
Right.
You know, they lost to them earlier in the year. So, but, you know, they've had a good season, and I hope you, in the intro when you brought it on, talk about basketball wrapping up for most of the teams. I hope you didn't jinx us. I hope we got another week or two of this. So.
Well, I didn't intend it. I said for most of the teams it's wrapping up.
I know. I'm just
and so, you know, we're going to, as we did at the end of football, you know, there were teams still in the football playoffs, and we were doing basketball and football. Now we're going to be doing basketball and those spring sports of baseball, softball, you know, probably some track, soccer. We're going to be doing a lot of different things here during the spring.
As I said, the Outlaws play Junction City at 5:30 on Thursday at Akron. We hope all the Outlaw fans can come out and support the Outlaws. Coach Reed in here, he said, you know, the Horatio Lions play Fordyce. Was that who? I believe he said Fordyce.
Parker's Chapel,
that's right.
And then they could get Fordyce after that.
Who was also the number one seed, they said, of their region and were defeated and will be the three there. So they play the game right after the Outlaws. So Outlaw Nation, come out and support the whole conference. I mean, you can watch some good girls basketball right after ours. Another thing from Outlaw Nation, Greg, we'd all like to wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. and you know, I think the only thing we got left to do is name the Toad Thumper Outlaw Player of the Week.
Well, we talk about it week in and week out. Big games from Andrew Mack every game. And, you know, he's got it a lot. This week, I believe we're going to go with the spark plug the other night against Spring Hill Bears. Jordan Hill finished with 12 points, but he done a little bit of everything. He had some steals, some assists, and, you know, he kept them in the game early. So I think the Toad Thumper Lure Player of the Week is going to be Jordan Hill for the Derrick's Outlaws this week.
And congratulations to Jordan Hill for being our Toad Thumper Outlaw Player of the Week. We appreciate you, Jeff. I know you're going to hang around and talk some more about some other teams as we talk about them. We're going to talk about the Cossetot River Eagles at this point in time. And we were going to have a report on them, but sometimes things happen. And so we've got the information, and we're going to talk about it.
Phillip Fields is in the middle of the woods somewhere with no cell phone signal. Eagles sit at 20-9 on the year. They beat Danville last week 65-51. That was on Monday, but then lost to Hackett 63-58. So the buddies got them. they'll play Elkins this week on Wednesday in the regional. That will not be an easy game for the Eagles. Late, go ahead.
No, we saw them play.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We did. Late Eagles sit at 19-10. They were upset by Boonville, another upset, and it wasn't close. It was 54-40. That was on Thursday, and now they draw Bergman this Thursday, and that may be a harder game than the boys draw.
Yeah, Eagles, Lady Eagles are going to be facing the third-ranked team in 3A.
Yeah.
So Bergman's a good basketball team.
Where is that regional at, do y'all know?
That I do not know.
I don't either.
I can find out.
I was just trying to stump you. I mean, I don't know either.
It's going to be at Bergman.
Okay.
Oh,
which makes that game a little tougher.
Makes it a lot tougher.
I don't know that. I just said that.
Oh, okay.
But none of you knew either, so.
No, I do not.
Tyler, please edit that out.
Our Union Bank Eagle Player of the Week is going to be senior Henry Evans this week for the Cossetot Eagles. Good luck, Eagles, as both teams advance to the regional, and hopefully can come away with a couple of tough road wins.
And we're looking forward to seeing what they do this week. The Eagles done a great job. I mean, especially the girls, and I'm not to knock the boys, but girls finished number one in the conference.
Yeah.
And then get knocked off in the district tournament, so they drop down, and it makes it a little bit tougher. But both those games, we watched the Elkins boys play, and they were really, really good.
That was in the Mansfield tournament?
That was in the Mansfield tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Leopards actually played them.
Yeah. The both Eagle programs sit at a total of 39 and 19. That's a pretty good basketball season by anybody's standards.
Yeah, it really is. And so congratulations on tell me who the player is.
Henry Evans.
Henry Evans being the Union Bank Eagle Player of the Week. We appreciate Union Bank and what they do each week to honor one of the players from Costar River. Now we're going to move on to the Legacy Warriors. And the Legacy Warriors were in the state tournament this week.
Yep.
And you know, ended up, you know, not being going the Warriors' way. They go up and play Fayetteville Christian in the first round for the Warriors, and they get defeated 77-45. The Fayetteville Christian team, one of the biggest teams that the Warriors faced all year long, and so the youth of the Legacy Warriors kind of showed through, and they had Fayetteville team had 31 points on turnovers alone. Manolo Vasquez, Silas Lofter, and Jude Gallagher all hit double digits with 16, 13, and 11 points respectively. And Wyatt Roden had 15 rebounds. And
sounds like they were playing without Talandano, though.
Yeah, he's been hurt.
Yeah, and he makes a difference in their ball team.
Yeah, especially rebounding defensively. And Fayetteville Christian went on to play in the state championship game. Excuse me just a second. Got to rub my nose. Lady Warriors came out of the regionals as the runner-up, and they had high hopes, you know, with Oakley Buckets being there. They faced Hillsdale Christian in round one, and you know, nothing seemed to go right for them that game. You just have those games sometimes. Shots weren't falling, and Hillsdale had a six-foot girl under the basket, which makes it a little bit more difficult to get rebounds. Yeah. And Lofton, you know, she was, quote, and I'm reading this, and I'm putting this in quotation marks, held to 20 points, which was her low for a game this year. Wow. Libby Bartek had 14, and Lofton also led in rebounds with 13. And Hillsdale went on to win the girls' HCAA 1A state tournament.
Sounds like the Warriors got a couple tough draws.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
For the Stillwell's Warrior Player of the Game, that's going to be freshman Jude Gallagher, who was unrelenting in efforts on both ends of the court. He began the year a little timid, but, you know, his first year of senior high play, he averaged 9 points and 8 rebounds. And, in the last 5 games of the season, he moved up to average 16 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 deflections. So when you're averaging a double-double as a freshman, you're doing pretty good.
I think so.
And congratulations to Jude Gallagher on being named the Stillwell's Warrior Player of the Week.
Anytime you win 20 games, that's a mark in basketball, to win 20 ball games. And the Lady Warriors went 20-6. That's a pretty good season.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great season.
Yeah,
I was thinking the 20-game mark. I mean, when we were looking at the Eagles, Costot River Eagles, you know, both boys and girls had 19.
Yeah.
I mean, you're winning ball games
right
there.
That's right. That's right. Well, that kind of wraps it up for the Legacy Warriors. Let's move on to the Foreman Gators. They finished their season this week, as most of the teams have. The boys lost to Horatio Monday, a 66-48 loss, and the girls lost to Spring Hill on Monday, which was a 64-35 loss.
Jeff, am I correct that the Lady Gators had beat Spring Hill earlier in the year?
Yes.
Yeah.
And somebody told me Spring Hill might have had a player out.
Yeah.
But yeah, they defeated them 2 points, I believe, like the last week of the season, regular season.
Yeah, because I think they played them twice in 1 week, makeup game because or something. But, you know, Gators finished 3-21, 0-12 in the conference. Lady Gators finished at 6-19 and 1-11. Probably not the season they want to have, but I think they had some good wins during the season. And,
both those teams are also very young.
Yeah. and they look for better things in 2024-25. Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week is going to be senior Ethan Cockrell. We appreciate Horatio State Bank for sponsoring the Gator Player of the Week, and we congratulate Ethan Cockrell on being named the Player of the Week for this week. I think that pretty much wraps it up for the basketball in high school, Tony.
Yes.
Got a couple other things to talk about. We talk about spring sports starting. We've talked about that some. We interviewed Coach Chad Lights of the Lady Leopard softball team. Leopards and Lady Leopards both starting their seasons this Friday night. Leopards at DeQuain. I believe Lady Leopards are.
I think they're home hot, as well.
Are they?
I think so. Don't quote me on that.
And I thought I they were at Hot quick. Springs, but
well,
I mean, that's okay. I don't know. Yeah, you may be right.
I'm not sure.
Me either. But anyway, they start this week and be full bore from then on, man. Every time it's not raining, they'll be playing.
That's exactly right. And you think about the weather's going to be nice this week. I mean, we've talked about it, some cold baseball and softball games at the end of February, the 1st of March. But it looks like Friday's going to be really nice.
Yeah, but we'll still get some of those cold games.
I understand.
Yeah, I bet. But you know, and one of the things, you know, we talk about spring sports starting, and I know that Lady Outlaws getting ready for softball, too, and track. And one of the things we don't want to do is we're not leaving basketball now. We're going to cover that. And Jeff got on to me for jinxing teams, but I that's not what I meant at all. But it's just going to be a combination of finishing up the basketball season for the Outlaws, Lady Lions, and both the Eagles and Lady Eagles. We hope they win state championships.
Much like football. I mean, we followed Ash down all the way.
Yeah.
All the way through.
So. Yeah, and we'll follow them all the way to the end. And then while we're doing that, we'll be covering the softball and baseball and track and soccer and whatever other spring sports there are.
I thought I had a Lady Outlaw schedule here and could tell you when they got started in softball, but I was wrong.
Yeah.
I can't find a schedule, but I'll work on that this week and find out. They do have a new coach, Keenan Owens, taking over softball this year, so – you know, good luck to them, and we'll keep you updated on them.
I'm going to guess that that they start next week.
Probably so.
Yeah, at the latest. So looking forward to all that. We get to go outside a little bit now, so that's nice.
Yeah.
To be outside, and as the weather warms up, the grass starts turning green, and kids start wearing shorts when it's 25 degrees. I don't know how they do that, but
hey, I used to do it.
Yeah, I know. I know, but you know, something else that we can talk about, spring training's starting up for pitchers and catchers. Have they reported already?
Yes, they have. They reported maybe last week.
Yeah,
and they'll start playing spring training baseball here in just maybe a week or so, first part of March. I love football, and I can sit and watch whoever play NFL football, whoever play college football, and whoever play high school football, and I just enjoy football. I can't do that with baseball, but I'm excited about baseball starting, especially going a Sunday yesterday without having any football to watch. It was seemed like a long day.
There's fixing to be football.
I understand.
Yeah.
I was going to have to sit in yesterday and watch the Daytona 500 to get my sports fix, and it rained it out. They raced today.
Yeah. Yep. You can always watch golf.
I do watch a lot of golf.
Yeah.
I got to watch somebody be able to hit the ball.
Yeah.
Speaking of spring training, Jeff, I know that you're a Cubs fan. How do you
Reds.
See them?
I'm a Reds guy.
I thought you were a Cubs fan. Yeah. Who do I know that's a Cubs fan other than Jonathan Lindsay?
the only other person I know is Lauren Hinton.
Lauren Hinton's a Cubs fan, too.
Yeah,
okay.
He is.
Okay. Well, we're going to be mortal enemies now for the whole baseball season.
No, just through the month of April. We'll lead the division at the end of April. And then I try to find another
team. This is what I live for, this smack talk.
Then I try to find another team to root for until November.
as they go down. Huh?
Well,
I realize we're not going to stay in the race for long.
Well, I've told Greg this story before. And of course, I'm from West Virginia originally, and most people in West Virginia either root for the Reds or the Pirates. I mean, they're the two teams that are on TV, you know, like the Rangers are on here. And so, but all of my family, other than me, are Cincinnati Reds fans, and I'm a Pirates fan. And the our measuring stick of success is not who wins the NL Central. It's who finishes fourth and who finishes fifth in the division, because that's usually the Pirates or the Reds.
And another thing that aggravates me that a Reds fan used to could hold on to, they were going to play the first ball game of the season. And that's not even a thing anymore. Now they're liable to start just
They'll play the first game overseas somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm serious. They'll play it, yeah.
I mean, I'm a traditionalist. I like all those old school, you can count on this. And none of that matters anymore.
Well, I grew up – I mean, I cut my teeth on the Cincinnati Reds just because my grandpa was a Reds fan. My dad is a Reds fan. Things that stick out in your mind, I remember Pete Rose getting the hit that broke the record. Me and my grandpa watching it together, and then he passed away the next day after Rose got that hit. That was on a September 11th. I can't remember the year, maybe 85. And he passed away on September 12th.
And they, it's all about the money now, how they do things. You know, like speaking of the Cubs, used to, you were going to watch them during the day.
Yeah.
You know, there was no night games, and now, but they get more fans out if they put some lights up and. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Well, baseball to me is not going to be as much fun until they get their act together as far as revenue goes, like the NFL has, where everybody has the opportunity to spend the same amount of cash. I mean, I've compared it to me and you and Greg. We're going to go coach Little League Baseball. We go watch the tryouts, and we give Greg $1,000 of Monopoly money. We give me $500. We give you $100, and we start bidding on players. Who's going to have the best Little League team?
I mean... Yankees and the Dodgers, they're going to buy whatever they need.
Well, and
everybody else needs somebody on the team, Dayton Tyler Swift.
Apparently, the Padres are flush with money, too, because they go out and spend it like crazy.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And I know it's not all the big market's fault that the Pirates could spend more than they're spending, and they got an owner that's kind of tight with his money. But even if the Pirates spent all they could spend, they would only been spending, you know, $50 or $60 million on payroll. So,
I even stick in the same division and try to root for the Brewers from time to time, but they don't spend the money to win either. I mean,
no,
that, maybe they can't.
And that's one thing. Market. That's one thing about being in the NL Central. Other than the Cubs, you're in there with a bunch of smaller markets, and I don't know if you could call the Cardinals a smaller market, but they're not the Dodgers, and they're not the. Like the Braves and Yankees, Boston, things like that. And then you got the Reds, the Pirates, the Brewers, they're all those teams spend more than the Pirates do. But I think from a financial perspective, they're all more competitive.
So we've committed to our teams, Greg. Who's your baseball team?
I don't care.
He's a Rangers fan.
I'm going to tell you this. If I have to pick a team, it'd be the Rangers simply for closeness. I've followed them in the past. But I will tell you, when there's two things that got me on professional baseball. One was when they struck and didn't play the World Series. I was done. And ESPN has ruined me too. Yeah. Because instead of watching 3 minutes, 3 hours, I can watch 3 minutes and see every play that mattered in the game. And so I'm not enough of a traditionalist or a real baseball fan that I want to sit there and watch every pitch. You know, I like to do is I'm going to tell you what's fun. That's what I was going to ask you. I know what Tony does pretty much, but I was going to ask you, do you watch a lot of baseball on TV? See, I don't either.
Postseason, I'll start watching it in the postseason. Until September,
doesn't matter.
Everybody's in the mix.
Yeah.
I did that. I never get to watch my team.
but you know, the thing about it is, you know, I know one thing about Tony is I know it's a family thing with him too.
Yeah.
You know, they watch him and his dad watch a lot of games together.
Yeah.
And so that
watch the Reds and the Pirates.
Yeah.
I have extra innings and that's something we do together.
Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of off that subject, but the best baseball to watch for me, if you're not watching local little league or high school, is Razorback baseball.
Yeah,
and they did get started this past weekend. I think they went
lost
2-1,
but they're playing today.
They are playing.
Yeah,
today,
they're playing again today.
Lost to JMU.
Yeah.
Y'all want to? What conference are they in?
Who cares?
I would never.
The Sun Belt.
Yeah, I mean, we, us and all the listeners knew that when you brought it up.
They were all going, who cares? Yeah, but you know, the one thing I do like about baseball, I like going to the games. I love to go to the Ranger games. It's so much fun to go watch them. And because me, there's so much other stuff going on. And that
And, you know, the Rangers, they promote well in this area. I mean, you know, they want this fan base that we have around here. You know, you're within 3 hours of going and watching a ball game. And if you're not a Rangers fan, look at the schedule and you can pick out somebody you want to see and go to Dallas and watch them.
Yeah. Well, the worst thing about living in this area to me and being a Major League Baseball fan is there's four teams that claim this area as their area, and they're blocked off on extra innings. That's the Rangers, the Cardinals, the Astros, and the Royals all claim this area. You can't watch any of them on extra innings. That's not right to me. I mean, like, I'm going to jump in the car one afternoon and drive to Kansas City and watch a ball game. And I know it has more to do with other things. And I got to tour the Globe Life with a buddy of mine last year, and got to talk to one of the Rangers executive. And he said that's one of the things that baseball's trying to fix, that an area can only have one team, you know, blocked off, because we live in an area, if you have extra innings, you can't watch those four teams.
Well, just to touch on that, that's NFL marketing beating them again, because you can get the NFL package and watch every game you want to watch.
That's exactly
you
right.
Know. They've got it figured out.
The NFL definitely has it figured out, and why baseball hasn't implemented more of that, I don't know.
Well, the thing about me with that is if you ask me, I would – if I were the Rangers, I'll use them for an example. They're the closest team here. If I were the Rangers, I would want all my games shown here, because that's going to create more interest, and it's going to make them want to go that 3 hours to go to the game.
You go on a 5 or 6 game win streak, and fans say, "Hey, maybe we should go watch them play."
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
watch them on TV. I know the players.
You know, and I don't know a whole lot about it, but I mean, what good does it do me to sit here and watch the Yankees play? You know. I'm not going to go. If I go to a Yankees game, it's going to be once in my lifetime just to say I went.
Yeah.
You know, but Rangers
Take
games.
Me with you.
Yeah. Well, Ranger games, you know, I've actually been once. But
me too.
But I would, you know, Ranger games, if they were on all the time, I would probably, even after what I told you, I would probably tune in and look and see the scores.
Yeah.
You know, I'd flip over there if there wasn't anything else going on. And I think that that's a, you know, that's something that's where they're missing out. By doing that.
Well, even if Texas claimed our area, the Royals, the Cardinals, I don't get that at all.
No.
You know, what's Kansas City, 8 hours?
Yeah, about 7.
Yeah, St. Louis is
10, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Houston's 5 or
yeah.
so. And
yeah.
Then, you know, Dallas, of course, we can get there in 3 hours or
yeah.
so.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things you got, I mean, you know, and of course, all this is supposition on my part, but there's, you know, when you go to the Cardinals, that was Arkansas's team for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah, because of the Travelers. Well,
the Travelers played in Little Rock. There were several, you know, there were a lot of pro players from Arkansas on the Cardinals at one time, a long time ago. But I mean, the Travelers playing all those years, their farm team in Little Rock, that, and so everybody in Little Rock, because there wasn't a team, you know, when the Astros started playing, which, you know, back in the 60s, I think, is when they started playing, they were so bad that nobody wanted to watch them anyway, you know. So everybody's watching the Cardinals. Now, I don't understand what that has to do with today, but I'm just saying that's a possibility. The thing about Kansas City is Kansas City's, you know, that's where everybody in northwest Arkansas goes, you know, and they don't even consider us in Arkansas. So they, when they're blocking Arkansas out, they're blocking out northwest Arkansas. We just happen to get blocked out by accident on that one. I really believe that. You know, and last I knew, a Walmart guy owned the Kansas City team, David Glass. And so that may be part of it too. And again, I disagree with all of it. I think the more games you show on TV, the better off you are.
And I think if you pony up the money, and it depends on when you sign up and how long you've been, all that. But I think if you pony up $200 to $300 to buy extra innings, you ought to get every game, just like you do with the NFL ticket.
That's right.
I don't even know who the Travelers are farm team for anymore.
It's obscure. It's like the Blue Jays or somebody.
That's what I was thinking. It was somebody just kind of off the wall.
Yeah.
You know, and like Greg said, you know, you used to keep up with the Cardinals because people moving up the ranks.
Yeah.
They would come through the Travelers organization, and then as you watched them move on, I mean, maybe you've seen them play locally. Yeah. You know, and you would keep up with them.
Tom Pagnozzi. Remember when he played for the Razorbacks and he played for the Travelers and he played for the Cardinals?
Well, the one that jumps to mind for me is Ray Langford.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember him playing for the Travelers. And then you watched him. I won't say he was on a World Series team. I may be wrong. I'm not great at remembering anymore as I get older.
But, they came. You know, not only would you have that, rehab stints would come down, you know, pitchers come down and pitch.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. I think – And I may be wrong. I think the Travelers with the Angels.
It may be.
But I can't.
It's somebody
that the people here probably wouldn't follow as a professional baseball
player. No, that's
but
right.
But Otani's not going to come down and play at Little Rock.
No.
Anytime soon.
No, he's
is he even with the Angels still?
No, he went to the Dodgers.
Dodgers.
Yeah, they got somebody else.
That's right, for like and $2 billion or something like
that. Well, but he's only making $2 million a year till basically after he retires. He's going to move so he don't have to pay the California taxes on what the Dodgers are paying him. Isn't that weird?
See, I can't keep up. I was nervous when
his contract is all backloaded.
I was nervous when I seen the topics here, spring training, because I can't keep up with who was traded to who until I sat down and watched SportsCenter like opening day.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll be filled in then. I might have to take notes, but.
Yeah. Well, here's a newsflash for you. The Pirates haven't really signed anybody. They did re-sign Andrew McCutchen, which is.
Here's not a news flash for anybody listening. There's no loyalty to staying with your team anymore either.
So no.
You have not. To keep up with where they're going.
That's right. But anyway, I think we've just about covered that subject. You think? You got anything else?
Well, I just want to say yesterday after church I got a text that Freddie Reinhart, who was known as the number one Benton Panther fan and a guy I got to know doing Benton Radio while I was there, passed yesterday. That's a community that's really grieving. My buddy Jim Gardner says it'll probably be the biggest funeral in Benton history. And I just want to acknowledge Freddie and praying for his family and the Benton football family.
Condolences to his family and friends from all of us.
Yeah, they're in our prayers. And we've come to the close of another episode of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. I just want to take this opportunity to congratulate all the basketball teams on fine seasons. We've got a few teams that are still in the regional playoffs, and we look forward to hearing how they fared next week. Also got several teams moving on to baseball, softball, soccer, track, and we're going to be reporting on that. So just keep listening, and we'll try to do our best to keep you informed on what's going on in Southwest Arkansas in the sports arena.
Absolutely, man. Big, exciting season for basketball, and excited to move on to baseball, softball. Mm-hmm. And then it's summertime after that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, so we got winter. No telling what we'll talk about in the summer.
Oh, man. Nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much what we do every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll just let Jeff shoot from the hip.
Yeah, there you go. But anyway, we appreciate everybody that listens to our podcast. You know, we also appreciate all the coaches, the play-by-play guys, the people that get us the information. We couldn't do it without you. And we appreciate the players and the kids so much, all the effort and work they put in on a daily basis to make our job easy when we talk about them.
Give us something to talk about.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
And so we appreciate them so much. And we'll be back next week with another episode. We see you next week.
See you next week.